Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Hello, this is Penn Jillette. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're on Free FM, CBS Radio. Phone number is 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com is the Gmail address, and PennRadio.com is the web address. And I really don't know what the hell I'm doing today. Why is today different than the other day? But it's 5 years, 9/11. And I didn't want to have like a really goofy show. Didn't want to have a guest on. Michael Godot is not here. Michael Godot goes on vacation. And I didn't ask Matt King or Lawrence O'Donnell or anybody to come in because I just didn't know what was appropriate. I think I know a few things that aren't appropriate. I think that the CNN thing where they're, you know, and I'm don't get on me on the censorship thing here because I'm not saying the government should have any control whatsoever over what's shown. I'm not even happy about Clinton, you know, throwing his weight around to try to stop the ABC thing that points a finger at him for what happened with the terrorism. So I'm not talking about any sort of censorship at all. I'm talking about pure taste. CNN, CNN.com, I guess, not the TV thing, is running on their website. They're running their entire news day from 9/11/2001, from beginning to end. They're running the breaking in of the news and all their hosts. It just seems like, are there people that want to sit down and relive 9/11/2001 in real time? 866-570-PEN, 7366. I'm very aware that this show goes out mostly to New York and Chicago and D.C. And so I don't really feel qualified to give too many comments. I lived in New York for years, but I was not living in New York in 2001. I was out here in Vegas. We were in that very far away part of the country where the whole thing just took longer to sink in and took longer to just seem real. And I think that even 5 years 5 years later, it's hard for it to seem real. And I guess maybe that's why CNN.com is running that thing in real time. 866-570-PEN 7366. There might be something I'm not getting here because it's very common that I miss things. So if someone can tell me, especially someone that's watched a lot of the CNN coverage in real time on CNN.com, why you do that, what kind of either information or emotional release you'd get from watching the newscast from that time. There's also an article in the in the local paper today, I didn't see it in the Times in their long 9/11 thing, about TV networks loosening up and showing things that are a little bit more graphic. They're showing people falling out of the buildings and so on. And I guess it's all this too soon thing. You know, Gilbert Gottfried in September, right after 9/11, I guess it was about 10 days after, did a Friars roast, which is, you know, the dirtiest roast they've ever done. And Gilbert Gottfried got on stage, and the joke he opened with was that he was supposed to fly to L.A. that day, but he couldn't find a plane that didn't stop at the Empire State Building. This was like 2 weeks after 9/11. And he was booed. I mean, really roundly booed. And people were yelling, too soon, too soon, too soon. And Bill Maher has an editorial in today's L.A. Times where he talks about how he did the thing about saying that suicide bombers, cowardly might not be the exact right word, and which eventually, I guess, led to him being fired from Politically Incorrect or Politically Incorrect going off the air. And, you know, he doesn't act like a real martyr on that. But it probably did lead to that or help lead to that. Of course, the show had been on a long time at that point, and they might have been ready to make a change anyway. But he was told it was too soon. And yet, what we were supposed to do, what the president told us to do after 9/11, was to continue our lives as normal. And that seems to be the way you fight terrorism, although it seems very few people agree with me. It seems like people think that you're supposed to go for more safety and less freedom after there's been terrorism. 866-570-PEN 7366. I'm going to kind of let y'all take control of the show here because I don't know what's appropriate. But I do know that right after 9/11, what I did, what Penn and Teller did, was we went into the Rocky Horror Show on Broadway. Broadway wasn't selling that well. The Rocky Horror people thought if they brought Penn and Teller in, they would do a little better, might get some people onto Broadway. We did well. I guess we sold out most of the shows, if not all. And I really felt, and I know this is going to sound goofy, and please, I'm not being flippant in any way. I really mean this. We thought that cavorting in fishnets and high heel shoes and playing around with the idea of sexuality and cross dressing and all the stuff that is done for the Rocky Horror Show, mostly for nerds to enjoy sex, we thought that all of that was the biggest slap in the face possible to the people who hated our lifestyle. And my feeling after 9/11 was that everything we did that made them angry, we should do more of it. That was my feeling, and my feeling is that there should be no airport security, there should be nothing, and we should tell them that we're strong and free enough that we can take a hit no matter how horrible and how devastating, and we will not change our lifestyle for that. That's kind of my point of view. I'm in Vegas. I'm whatever, 2,800 miles away. So my point of view is less valid, but I just didn't want to do a goofy show today. So please forgive me if you tuned in to think about something other than 9/11, because I'm not really doing that. I'm just going to kind of let you decide. Well, let me shut up and take a call. Let me talk to Jim. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks, sir. How are you?
Fine, I love the show.
Oh, thank you.
But I only get to listen on Mondays, actually. I'm a little upset. I've never heard Monkey Tuesday in my life. But look, you know, you brought up an interesting point that I never thought about. I was here, I'm still here on the East Coast in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work that morning and kind of found out about it through someone who was online, and we looked at pictures online and saw it as it happened live, sort of, but you woke up and it was already going on. Like, what happened when you got up, and what did you see?
Well, it's not. It's a very goofy story. At the time, I had a young stripper living at my house, and I was in the bathtub. I was up very, very early, and I was reading a book on jazz theory, in the bathtub. And this friend of mine, this stripper, came into my bathroom nude and said that planes had just flown into the World Trade Center. And I said, and forgive me for this because I did not know the situation. And remember, I'm listening to a stripper. I said, what exactly has that got to do with jazz? And rather snottily. And she stood there kind of stunned. And then she left. And I read another paragraph or so. And then said, did she say World Trade Center? And then I went through my mind to think if there was something called the World Trade Center that wasn't the towers. And I got out of the bathtub and I ran downstairs where she had the television on.
And were they naked?
Yes.
Okay.
And we stood there side by side and watched the replays of it. And I couldn't find a way to understand what was going on at all. And I remember just sitting down with her, and then at some point in this story we got dressed. And Jonesy, our piano player, and a lot of jazz guys came over, and the gigs in Vegas were all canceled. People had been kind of told not to come into work. And we had the Starbucks that we went to. And after a few hours of sitting around the house and talking in circles and trying to figure things out, we went to the Starbucks, and the Starbucks that we always went to was in direct path of the airport in Las Vegas. And I remember just thinking that we couldn't hear planes going overhead, and all I wanted in life was to hear the rumble of those engines going over the Starbucks. But it was very slow motion out here in Vegas. Everybody that I know out here is an entertainer, which means almost by definition, everyone has worked a lot in New York. And it was very, very strange. And I tried to call my friends in New York and, of course, couldn't get through. And then there were all the rumors and all the web stuff of who I'd known. You know, I had a friend that worked at the World Trade Center and went when they got out or if they didn't get out and all of that. And a friend of mine who lived in Brooklyn and was looking over at it, having the debris rain down on him. And I remember really... interestingly enough, right after it happened, one of the first things I said out loud, and forgive me if this seems to have the improper focus, but I'm trying to be honest here. The first thing I said out loud was, there goes our civil rights. And I was talking to George Carlin 6 weeks later, and I said to him, you know, the first thing I said out loud to people was, there goes our civil rights. And George Carlin went, whoa, 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 whoa. And he said, let me get my notebook. And he went, he keeps a notebook all the time with him. And he went and got his notebook from 9/11. And the first thing written after that was, there goes our civil rights. Mm. And so the first benefits that I did for 9/11, and I hope that no one finds this misplaced values or something, but it was very important to me. I did a few benefits over at Maxwell's in Hoboken with Yola Tango. I played some bass with them and did some comedy with them as a benefit for ACLU and other civil rights groups to try to make sure that there wasn't some sort of backlash that grabbed away at our rights, because it seems like that's what the terrorists wanted to do. And there has been, as you know, very sadly, some success. So my point of view, which I think I don't have a lot of confidence in being absolutely right, but certainly what my heart's been telling me for this whole 5 years is what we should do the most is keep doing things that piss them off. We should have as much sin and celebration and happiness and freedom as possible, and just show them that some very bad people willing to kill themselves for some very bad ideas cannot change the whole world. So that was kind of my reaction to it.
Well, I'll try and keep up my end of that part of the bargain, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, man.
Okay, Pat.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. I was going to take another couple of calls. Let's talk to Anthony. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, man. What's going on? I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah. What you're saying is for the most part, it's really correct. I mean, like, we can't live in fear and terror the way they want. Like, even the attacks of September 11th, it wasn't even about killing the 1,000-odd people or how many was, like, you know,
about
the Pentagon.
About 3,000, yeah.
Yeah, it's about 3,000 there. I mean, it wasn't even the act of killing, the amount or, you know, of the loss of life. It's the sense of fear that they want us living in. And as of, I mean, like, you know, we can't give in to that. I mean, we can't, you know, constantly be looking around our shoulder and, you know, wondering, oh, when are they going to try to, you know, get back at us? When are they going to try to kill more people? We shouldn't have to live in fear that way.
Well, I mean, the license plates in New Hampshire all say live free or die. And I grew up in Massachusetts, and that license plate, live free or die, is the most powerful American radical statement. It was crazy when the was it the Green Mountain Boys that said that? I guess they were Vermont, but it was an insane, intense thing to say at the time, and I still believe it very strongly. And I would like to think that the bravery that was shown from the rescue workers and everyone around 9/11 would not be lost on the rest of us, and we could be as brave in airplane lines as they were on that day. But I wasn't there, and it's very easy to tell people who suffered terribly, well, you know, don't be afraid, that's just what they want, because, you know, killing a lot of people and blowing up buildings is a really good way to make people afraid. And none of these opinions I have are too strong today, but I do have this sense that we should be living wild and free and do more and more and more to make make them crazy, because when it comes right down to it, we're right and they're wrong by a lot.
Yeah, definitely on that part. But, I mean, unfortunately, this kind of, you know, this extremism, I mean, regardless of, you know, the Nation of Islam, there's extremism that, you know, exists in every religion. It's just, you know, it's going to be going on no matter how much we, you know, try to be sensitive to their religious beliefs, you know, because, you know, they do, I mean, I don't want to say they, but for, you know, many extremist Islamic sections and groups, they do believe our, you know, the way we, many Americans live is godless, is, you know, sinful, displeasing, you know, that kind of thing. To a certain aspect, you know, it's just, you know, Americans are, as ourselves, you know, we're not exactly the most blameless people in terms of what we put into media and everything, but it's just, it's, you know, as far as the way we live, it can't justify their, you know, their violence.
I actually think we are blameless. I think the way we live is absolutely fine, and that's one of the reasons I kind of felt creepy when I said, you know, that we have all these sins. We live in a way that's beautiful and celebrates life and celebrates freedom, and
well, yeah,
I don't
true.
Think there's anything to be learned from their hatred.
Oh,
of us.
No, I think of course not.
There's nothing we can do, but there's nothing the Americans are doing wrong. And both sides of this, both the left and right, tend to find some way to blame us. You know, some of the real nuts on the right say that it was our sin and homosexual marriage, and that's why this happened. And some of the nuts on the left say, well, you know, we don't have enough respect for Islam, we don't do it this, we don't give them enough respect. I think that both sides of that are absolutely crazy. I think there is nothing that the USA did to bring this upon themselves. And whatever we're doing, we should do more of it, because it's a really cool country. Really cool.
Yeah, that's definitely true, yeah. I mean, nothing we really have done in American history, I don't think, can warrant or, you know, justify any type of violence. I mean, like, as far as, like, the way we're living now, I mean, I'm not going to say that we're terrible. Like, maybe I shouldn't say we're blame, like, we, you know, we weren't blameless. But, I mean, like, in the way, you know, like, in the way that they attacked us, we didn't deserve anything like that at all.
Well, I do believe we're blameless, but thank you so much for
No, man, yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. Thanks a lot. So it's 5 years after 9/11, and I'm doing a radio show, and I don't really know what I'm doing. I hope I'm sounding respectful enough. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. There's a lot of calls in here. I'm just going to take the calls right after this. So we'll be back. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN, 7366. We're on the Free FM, CBS Radio. Penn Radio, PennRadio, at gmail.com, PennRadio.com. That's where we are. And because it's the fifth anniversary of 9/11, we are, I guess I'm talking about that. I'm kind of being very, very hypocritical. My point of view was that we should continue what we were doing after 9/11, ignore the terrorists entirely, and just celebrate and keep doing stuff to piss them off. And now I can't bring myself to not use a solemn tone of voice, and I can't bring myself to do a lot of jokes. It's harder than I think it is in theory. I did point out earlier that CNN.com is running their whole news from the whole day. The what was the live news on 9/11/2001. And I don't know why they're doing that. Maybe someone will call in and tell me what that means. But in the meantime, I'm just going to talk to y'all and get through my hour here. I'm certainly not an expert in how to handle these kinds of emotions. So please be easy on me. Let me talk to Alexis. How you doing, Alexis? You're breaking up fairly badly, Alexis.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're not really coming through. We're going to put you on hold, and then we'll work on that a little bit. Let me go to three. I don't know who I'm telling that to. I'm the one hitting the buttons, but let me talk to Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Penn. How you doing?
Very well.
Okay. You were talking about how
you said that things that we do have no relevance in the causes of terrorism, and mm-hmm. I agree that it's not the lifestyle, it's nothing that we personally have done wrong, but foreign policy towards the Middle East, I think, is part of it, and that's even been said on the 9/11 Commission hearings.
Uh-huh.
Oddly enough, they left that out of the report.
Uh-huh.
There are FBI agents that recommended reassessing foreign policy, you know, and our backing of Israel and support of.
Well, there's no doubt that makes us, you know, more of a target than Japan. I mean, Japan is a country that by Islamic standards, I believe, and I'm not an expert on this, is absolutely as sinful as the United States of America. And Japan just, you know, buys the oil at whatever price they want. Japan has, I believe, no domestic oil at all. We have whatever. We have around half, I think, of our oil is domestic. They have none. They buy it all. And they don't have any really foreign policy over in the Middle East. And they're just kind of not noticed, and they go about their ways. But I believe you're mixing two things together that are very separate to me. Yes, I'm a libertarian. I'm very close to isolationist. I wouldn't be doing much of anything over in the Middle East if I were in charge. But that is not the point. You don't have to discuss why they did the attacks on 9/11. Bin Laden and all those people made it very, very clear. They did it because of their religious beliefs. They did it because they needed to take down the infidels. Their reasons, although they may have noticed us because of foreign policy, that was not the reasons. And there's not much mystery about the reasons. The reasons are that they have interpreted Islam to mean, and it's pretty easy if you look at those parts in the Quran, they have interpreted Islam to mean, and a reading of the Quran that any one of us did might agree with them in places, that the infidels must be killed. And we are so clearly under the category of infidels. So that's a mistake, although I would do our foreign policy differently. And although the foreign policy does make us a target, I don't want to confuse that and say that's the reason, because I think that we can take them at their word that their reason for hating us is the fact that we do not follow the rules of Islam.
Right, but that's true, but then you have to look at the countries that have been attacked, as America, Spain, France. These are all countries that, you know, have the same basic policy towards the Middle East. And then there's countries like Sweden and Norway that are very liberal, gay rights and drugs and everything mm-hmm. like that. And they haven't been attacked, you know, which their countries, you could say, go much more against Islam than America does.
Well, but the Danish cartoon certainly got the Danes in trouble, and that wasn't their foreign policy. That was their freedom of speech. And although, I mean, we know they lied about the cartoons, they weren't really there. But, you know, what's fascinating about this whole thing is that that Iran did that showing of, you know, Holocaust denier and anti-Semitic cartoons, and there were no death threats on them at all from the West. And
I agree. I mean, I'm not saying that that's not part of it. I think religion is a big part of it, but I just... people tend to ignore the other parts of it, and I think to ignore one of the main causes, which is, I think, foreign policy, mm-hmm. is just as dangerous, because I think it's going to continue.
I think you're right. I was trying. I guess I wasn't as clear as I wanted to be. I wasn't trying to ignore it. I was trying to separate it, and there is a difference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think
it's that's very important stuff. And if you've got somebody who hates a certain kind of lifestyle, maybe the best thing to do is to have them notice your lifestyle less. And we certainly do everything we possibly can to have our lifestyle noticed. And some of the other countries, I mentioned Japan, you mentioned Sweden, don't do as much to make them think about them as much, you know. So maybe that's what we're talking about. But thanks a lot, Dave. Thanks a lot. I guess I'll just keep taking calls. Let me talk to Paul. What's up, Paul?
Oh, not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, I guess. I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I was just listening to what you were saying. The first thing that you said was, and what I said was a little bit different. I was in Bosnia at the time, about 8,000 kilometers from home.
Mm-hmm.
I had a countdown going on my watch, about 16 to 18 hours left before we were supposed to be getting on the plane to come back to Canada here.
Mm-hmm.
And after that second plane hit, I basically stopped the countdown, and I said to one of the guys I was supposed to be going home with, sir, we aren't going home, are we?
Yeah.
We were in the middle of a Muslim area, and within about 2 hours, we couldn't even go outside for a cigarette without our helmets, flak jackets, and rifles, and a whole bunch of ammo.
Oh, jeez. How long were you over there?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
It took us 6 days to actually get home. They grounded even our military aircraft, which I think is kind of insane, because you'd have to be nuts to hijack that plane.
Yeah.
Full of a bunch of people who want to come home, and really, even if they did manage to take up the two pilots, we had 10 more in the belly that would have been able to bring her in.
Yeah, sure. What was your what was your position in Bosnia? What were you doing?
I was intelligence for the Air Force.
Uh-huh. And were you intelligence? Is your expertise on Muslim cultures?
I was mostly dealing with a lot of the Bosnian stuff. We did look at a lot of the terrorist organizations as well. So, yeah, I do have some background in that.
Well, talk a little bit then. You certainly know more than I do. So tell us something.
Well, as soon as that attack came down, those of us who had pretty much done research on that, we knew exactly who did it, because threats had been made a few months beforehand. Al-Qaeda basically said, we're going to do something that'll change the world here.
Mm-hmm.
We just had never guessed it would have been actually on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
We knew it was them. They were the only ones that had the capabilities at that point.
And having studied intelligence and been overseas, what do you think should be to be our way of dealing with this 5 years later?
I think go back to business as usual as much as you can. I mean, as soon as we go back to Canada, we had a day before we actually flew back to Edmonton. We were in the eastern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate and I figured, you know, the best thing that we can do is just be as Canadian as possible. Go out for a beer and get lap dances, and that's exactly what we did.
I just could not agree more. Could not agree more. And now 5 years later, do you believe we should be engaged in wars and all this saber rattling over in the Middle East? Or would you be more isolationist or what? Because, you know, if you did intelligence over there, you had the information. What's your feeling?
I think that Afghanistan was justified.
Mm-hmm.
We knew where they were. We went in. We hunted them down. I say we because the Canadians have people over there still.
Sure.
And we were out there helping you guys out for sure. Yeah, that's totally justified. I mean, they hit us and our friends. We go and hit them.
Mm-hmm.
As for going into the rest of the Middle East just to kind of prove a point, I don't think we're doing that.
Uh-huh. Are you still in the service?
No, I got out about a year and a half ago.
Okay. So you're still thinking about it a lot.
Yeah, boy, I still have friends over there and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Thank you so much for calling, Paul.
No problem, Ben. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks. You know, I just had to, I think that it's moments like this when we put down our differences between Canadians and Americans. But I wanted to talk to Paul. I still get a lot more calls. I'm going to get to them. I'm just going to stumble through more of this after the break. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PENradio@gmail.com. PENradio.com. We'll be back. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette here in Las Vegas, 866-570-PEN, 7366 is the numbers, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. 5 years after the attack on 9/11, and I'm kind of stumbling through the show here. I started out by asking why CNN was doing all the news from then in real time. And no one has given me an answer to that, but we're talking about all sorts of things, and I'm going to keep doing that. Let me talk to Joseph. How are you doing, Joseph?
Yeah, hi, Ben. It's great to hear you. You know, first of all, maybe it's that money shot kind of thinking. You know what I mean? Like, here you go, folks, all this violence for you to see all day long. And, you know,
yeah.
I would watch if I had CNN. Not out of, you know, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, just going, you know, it's fascinating footage, you know?
Yeah.
You're one of my favorite people on the radio, and it's ironic that I'm chiding you today, because I thought you'd kind of come out and realize that, you know, all this mawkishness, you know, over 9/11 kind of hides the fact that, like, you know, the country's a lot of, very angry, you know, about all the money and the resources that have been used to you know, create the war and to take away civil rights, you know, and I was thinking, you know, again, being one of the most intelligent people on radio, that you'd kind of tell people, hey, come on, you know, let the people who lost people grieve. And then everyone else kind of just pay attention to what else is going on. You know, it feels really like a veil is being put over our eyes. You know, I don't want to get into the conspiratorial kind of thinking, but you know what I'm trying to say. You know, you're usually very good about clearly.
I could not agree more with you. And the show that I kind of in my head wanted to do was a show that would rant against airport security, rant against, you know, we're the land of the free, home of the brave. That we should be rising up against this and not giving up any freedom whatsoever for some phony safety. That is the show that, you know, part of me really wanted to do. And then I started thinking about 5 years ago and how I felt and all the people that died. And I don't think, I'm not trying to be mawkish and I'm not trying to be pandering. I'm not trying to do any of that stuff. I'm talking about my real feelings. And intellectually, I could not agree with you more. It's just very hard because the people that I want to reprimand today, people I'm going to yell at today are Americans. I want to say, you know, do not give up your freedoms. Do not do this. Just, you know, live free, you know, and, you know, live free or die. Give me liberty or give me death. That's the stuff I want to say over and over again. But, you know, this is not the day to yell at Americans. This is the day to remember that some very bad, psychotic people killed a lot of us, and I'm just not thrilled about that. So I'm not trying to pander. I'm not trying to point the finger somewhere else. What I am is I'm a little sad because I think we all agree that it should not have happened. But, man, you know, I think if I were listening at home, my point of view would be so much closer to yours than anyone else's that called in. I would just be going, come on, man. You know, what we care about is freedom. Right. What we care about is the American way of life. Don't sit around going, oh, geez, this is terrible. This is awful. But actually kick some ass. I think I would agree with you. But sitting here in front of the mic and doing research this morning and reading the different speeches, it just changed my mood. So please, I do not think we're disagreeing at all in terms of intellect. I think we're agreeing a little bit in terms of mood.
If I could say one more thing too, is you're absolutely right. Maybe today would be if you did that, you'd be like shoving people's noses in it, and that's not appropriate, I guess. But it'd be nice if those voices, you know, the intelligent voices, the ones that see differently, would speak more, you know, and intelligently. And that's what I appreciate about you, is that you're intelligent and funny, which you know what I mean. It's really hard to find that on the air. I mean, and you're not being mawkish. Believe me, I've been watching the coverage all day, and you're not even close to mawkish. Thanks, man.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for your kindness. Yeah, you know, he's just right. Joseph's just right. You know, I should be saying, you know, and let me just say it. When the planes hit, if we wanted to be in the true spirit of the brave men and women that founded this country, that were willing to die for freedom, that fought the Revolutionary War, if we wanted to truly honor them, and I will add and say, if we wanted to truly honor those who died on 9/11, the thing we would do is to say, you're going to try to make us less free? No way. And we would just kick ass. What I would have done the day after 9/11 is repealed as many laws as we could and just said, you know something? You don't want us free. We don't care. We're going to be more free. But people get scared, and when people get scared, it's very hard to it's very hard for them to act that way. We want to try. I'm going to try Alexis again. Is the phone doing better now, Alexis?
Hello. How are you?
That's perfect. The phone is perfect.
Yay,
how you doing?
Very good. Good. I grew up 20 minutes in New York City, in New Jersey, and I now live in Monmouth County, New Jersey, which, when I moved there, I was told that it had the most deaths, I guess, per capita or per area, out of the entire, whoever was affected.
Yeah.
And I'm a teacher, and, you know, the whole CNN thing, and today I even saw on, WNBC on TV, they were showing everything again. And you have to look at it so carefully, because there were so many people who were affected in many different ways. You know, I mean, there's children who lost their parents that day. And it's the kind of thing where, is it fair, you know, to replay it and have the children relive their parents' death? And in a way, it's the public funeral. you know. But then on the other hand, it's still history, where well, you have to look at it from a historical perspective, but I think at 5 years, it's still too soon for the people who lost people to kind of see it that way, because it's still very real to them.
The argument that I have about the history thing, I mean, I'm interested in knowing what happened. Is there anything that was said on 9/11/2001 in the media? Is there anything that was said then that informs what we're thinking about it now? I mean, are we going back to a time when there was less information as opposed to more? I mean, that's what bothers me.
Or is the media going to skew it and just, you know, turn people in one in another direction? It's just that, I mean, at 5 years, you can't look at it like, you know, now teachers look at, you know, teach Pearl Harbor. It's too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That phrase, too soon, just scares me. I think that people should be able to do whatever they want. My question was really not should CNN be doing this, but rather why are they doing it and who's watching it? And Joseph said, you know, he was going to watch it because he thought there was footage that he wanted to see. But I don't really still have an answer to why. I mean, I went because I'd read about this and I thought, well, before I go on the air and say this about CNN, I should actually see that it's really going on. And I went to CNN.com and I clicked where it said live, you know, 9/11/01, you know, 2001 footage. I clicked the button, and as it was loading, I hit stop because I realized I didn't want to see that. And as a matter of fact, on the day it happened, I did not watch a lot of that footage over and over again. I saw the original footage, and I've seen it once. I've not looked at it since then. I didn't see the Nicolas Cage, Look, I'm Dressed as a Policeman movie. I didn't see the other movies. Because I believe that my decisions on this should be intellectual, and I don't believe that there's a lot for me to do in feeling the emotions that come from those images. Not saying it's wrong to feel that. I'm just saying, you know, I just don't wanna. I just don't wanna. And for 9/11, what I did mostly that day, which is common for me in news, is I did a lot of reading. I tend to prefer to read than to see television, because I like to be able to skim over what I want to and dwell on what I want to. And no matter how much they work on the web and how much they work on TV, there is nothing that you have more control to random access of information than there is reading. You can go through a newspaper and really tailor that to your interest, and you can't do it on TV. So I wouldn't be watching. What age kids do you teach, Alexis?
I'm elementary.
Elementary school. So do you have to answer, in especially in the county you're in now, do you have to answer questions about 9/11 from the kids? You must.
I do, but you have to be, I mean, maybe too soon isn't the right phrase, maybe being more careful about how you approach it, because do I feel like, you know, second graders really need to know every little thing? No. But a senior in high school, you know, maybe could have a better perspective about hate crimes and things like that. That would help them.
How do you explain what happened to a second grader if they said what happened, today, 5 years ago, you know, when I was two or whatever?
Right.
What do you say?
I mean, it depends. I mean, honestly, I had three children who lost family members, who lost their parents. So I now have three single parents, you know, kids now. And that approach, I talked to the parents and kind of, you know, went around the way that they explained it to them. And I kind of really took the same thing and just said that, you know, there was, you know, another country, got the map out, showed them, you know, the real geography of it all. We kind of went into different nationalities.
Now,
Alexis,
if you were able to point to where Bin Laden is right now, you should share that information with others besides second graders.
No, just the region, the area.
Okay, sure.
In that term of, you know, at a young age, I guess I really did do the historical, I don't know if you want to call it that, but that kind of aspect about their religion and about, you know, when these people die, you know, they feel that I didn't explain it this way, but they feel that they have like 100 lovers when they die, and that's their heaven and stuff like this. Like, you know, we did it kind of the different cultural way, and I was a new teacher, so I kind of did what the other teachers told me to do. But you got to be careful about it. You know, that's just my thing. Is even with the CNN thing, it's just You got to be careful.
Yeah, I just can't imagine trying to explain that to second graders, and I can't imagine the pain of having three kids in your class that lost a parent in that. I mean, careful is not the word. I mean. Careful is, of course, what you have to do, but man, to have your heart broken every day with those kids walking
in—absolutely,
you're better than me. I don't think I have the constitution to be able to take that. But thank you so much. Thank you so much,
absolutely.
Alexis. Thanks so much. Yeah, I got time. I'm gonna talk to Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Ben. How are you, man?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
It's a tough day, but, you know, I'm feeling pretty good today. I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the fiasco that is, you know, rebuilding the towers,
yeah.
Rebuilding the area.
Well, we did a whole Showtime show on that.
And that's exactly what I wanted to comment on. I saw it. It was a great episode. Paying that guy is the worst. Not paying him is the best thing they've ever done.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. Why can't they just build it brick for brick, stone for stone, the way it was?
Well, that's always my answer, that our lifestyle should be exactly the same. I want to take this opportunity, because you've set me up here, Mike, to explain something.
I'm sorry to do that.
Oh, no. we got quite a bit of heat for bringing cameras into the family room at the Ground Zero. We brought cameras in and showed the shrine that they have there. And many of the families, because of the title of our show being Bulls, Hit, and because of our attitude being irreverent, there were some family members who saw that we had done that. I didn't see anything from family members who actually saw the show, but those who heard that a show with that title and with my abrasive attitude had taken cameras into the place that they put aside for their artwork and their memories and so on. And I just wanted to, of course, I don't know anybody who would hate me for doing that. Probably wouldn't listen to my show, but I want to just explain very clearly that we dealt with the cameras in that room with the utmost respect. There was never any comedy done, and never any attacking of the family members or the people grieving, and I wouldn't do that. And
I wouldn't expect you to.
And we were allowed in there, and we tried to show as much respect as we could. And I think also, let me add to that, that it might have been a bad call, and if I had my time back, I might not have used that footage. You might not have shot there. I know I'm going off your idea, but I wanted to just say that and make it very, very clear. But
I really just wanted to comment and just, you know, put this out there. You know, it's already been on the TV waves, but that's what it's like. Put it out there on the airwaves. Why can't we just build it brick for brick, stone for stone?
I couldn't agree more. Thanks an awful lot, Mike. And thank you all so much for tuning in and your calls. And I promise I'll be kicking ass about freedom later. But today, you know, I think it's okay to be a little bit sad. Take it easy. We'll have a whopping good time tomorrow.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.